What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 23rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Max Meyer has made Marlins opening day roster. Congrats to him. I didn't really expect that to happen. I figured they would just hold him back and they were going to save his innings, right? Well, maybe not. You have Eric Smolski making a really good point that the Marlins have only lefties in that rotation, right? It's Luzardo. It's Ryan Weathers. It's AJ Puck. It is Trevor Rogers. Those are four lefties. So Max Meyer being the fifth as a righty, and oh yeah, Braxton Garrett, also a lefty, makes a lot of sense. Now, do I want to add him to my teams? Maybe. It's a decent first matchup if he gets it against the Angels. I don't know how long he's going to go in that first one, and I don't think he's as electric as others. However, I can see him being a productive starter if he is, in fact, their number five throughout the year. Keep in mind as well, I think that Ryan Weathers is the one who moves more to the pen before Trevor Rogers. So let's say Braxton Garrett returns, Max Meyer sticks around, Ryan Weathers goes to the pen. But what happens when ECAB shows up? Now, with Cabrera, you might have Max Meyer moved out. So it's not a ad of, oh, cool, Max Meyer's here and he's here to stay. Keep that in mind. But Max Meyer is better than your average Toby in your 12-teamer, so consider that. Jacob Junis is dealing with a minor shoulder issue that the Brewers are apparently not worried about. But, you know, let's say he is held up and Wade Miley is out of that rotation. So for at least for like 2 weeks, Robert Gasser, Aaron Ashby, or someone else, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Right now, you can just kind of ignore the Brewers rotation. Justin Steele left yesterday's game early after taking a comebacker to the knee. Not an arrow. He's apparently doing fine. He tweeted out that he's okay. His bracket is not, which is pretty entertaining. And he should be good for opening day. Blake Snell is expected to pitch on Sunday, and the word is that he's stretched out already to about 60 pitches. So let's just say he goes 60, not even 70. But let's just say he goes 60. Then he'll go 70 a week later. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I imagine the Giants with their ridiculously shallow rotation, and the fact that Logan Webb just keeps getting demolished, they really do want Blake Snell to make those pitches in the majors. And they say, you know what? Look, you might not be fully as sharp, but let's just give it a shot. Sonny Gray is expected to start the season on the IL now. So, I mean, we knew that before, but now it's actually confirmed. Zach Thompson is that number five, and we don't want that one. Kyle Bradish and John Means are, quote, expected to pitch early in the first half of the season. That's pretty interesting. Early in the first half, I should say, is a lot better than just the first half. So that means it's not like June, that's more mid-May. For Kyle Bradish, too, which is very, very interesting. So he is one of the highest IL stashes for me. But you can also put Sawyer Gibson Long in that IL stash because he is not going to the minors. He's going to be in the IL. That's very good news. I should have realized that before. I'm sure some of you are really smart. Like, yeah, Nick, obviously. But it does mean that Sawyer Gibson Long, if you do want to stash him, he's probably going to be around by like May 1st or so. Something like that. He's the SP7 at the moment. It's Matt Manning. And when Sawyer Gibson Long, he should be added to your team. When Sawyer Gibson Long gets added to the majors as a rotation, he should be added to your team. Okay. So that's something you should be very much aware of. And if you just have a roster spot open at some point, you're just like, yeah, sure. Sawyer Gibson Long, why not? And lastly, Yuri Perez. I should have grouped this in with the Marlins stuff before. He was diagnosed with elbow inflammation and will not require surgery. It's not recommended. That is wonderful news. Obviously, he's delayed. It probably will be about 6 to 8 weeks. But that means around June 1st, you should expect Yuri Perez again. So, yeah, he's another IL stash, of course. He should not be out for all of the first half. Might even be by the end of May, something like that. That's really, really exciting. And hopefully Yuri Perez is wonderful in his sophomore season. Statcast games that were on TV of Tarek Skubal versus Zach Wheeler. Wonderful stuff on both ends. Skubal went 5 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. While Zach Wheeler went 5.1 innings of 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Wheeler was sitting 94 or so, 94, 95 instead of 96. And you shouldn't really be worried about that. I imagine if anyone is going to be saving their bullets, it's Zach Wheeler, who knows his situation, especially with the extension signed. You have also Tarek Skubal. He killed it. And I got to say, him versus Cole Reagans has been a big thing. Cole Reagans went yesterday, did not have a good outing. Cole Reagans was not on StatCast, but he was on TV at 4 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. And I sat there watching this being like, okay, Cole Reagans was so unbelievably good in that first inning. And then second inning was hit a little bit harder. And then the fourth inning, not as good. He wasn't as efficient in some. He should not have allowed one of those walks, but it was not ball four. You have between the two, Tarik Skubal is just kind of like, yeah, here's my four seamer and changeup. You guys can't do anything. While Reagans is playing more of the, I'm throwing fastballs in the zone, but everything else is just kind of around it. And it does make me wonder, you know, about this ranking of Reagan saying, hey, Nick, he doesn't really have a secondary pitch he throws for strikes, like in the zone as much. And really, the cutter is supposed to surprise inside of right-handers. The slider is supposed to be out of the zone. It's a super high swing strike rate of both. You have the curveball that is supposed to, but it's probably his worst commanded pitch. And then you have this changeup. And the changeup, I guess, is, but he saves it later often. And sometimes it's a little too much of the zone when it's like 0-2. I saw yesterday there were a couple times when that happened. So, and his fastball isn't as bullying inside the zone as Tarik Skubal's. And maybe that's the flaw that I'm kind of overlooking for Reagans. I want to make this as clear as possible. I try as hard as I can to not be biased. And when I'm really encouraged by a pitcher, if you guys remember in October, I swung the other direction. Because I said, well, I know I'm biased, so I'm going to pull him all the way down here. And I'm wrestling saying, look, you were really aggressive on him. I mean, guys are injured, so he really should be at like 13 or 14. But he's like, what, 9 now? And I have him above Skubal because Skubal on paper doesn't have what Reagans has across 5 pitches. And am I weighing the 5 pitches thing too much? Because Nick, what is the thing that he throws in the zone? That's kind of the real question I'm asking right now. I'm going to say Reagans is still fantastic, and I'm going to keep him where he is because it's spring training, and I'm not going to get too wrapped up into that. Not to mention, I would say, okay, changeup can, curveball can, and cutter honestly can too. So you see a full season ahead for Reagans. We're not talking like just one half, and I have to imagine that he improves on what he's already built at a higher velocity now, where we see that second half from Reagans. We go, yeah, that's who he is. It wasn't luck. And he should not be a 5-walk-a-game guy or something like that. So I'm going to leave it as it is. And I hope Tarik Skubal can carry forward with the ratios he has. Luis Gil might be starting for the Yankees. And he's competing against Will Warren. They both win the same game. 4 innings and 5 innings. And that was it for the Yankees. 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts for Gil. While for Will Warren, it was 5 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 0 Ks. Can you guess the one that went 1 for 71 whiffs? With a sinker sweeper 80% of the time. Yeah, that was Will Warren. And I don't think it's going to be Warren anymore. I think it's going to be Luis Gil. 97 mile per hour heaters, slider and changeup combined for 65% strikes. He is, to me, the more effective, consistently effective pitcher, while Will Warren really leaned on ground balls in play. And that can work. And honestly, at the end of the day, maybe you get more innings out of Will Warren if you're the Yankees. I think what you're going to see is Luis Gil get the job and run with it, because they do recognize, like, yeah, his stuff is amazing, and he has the most potential, and we just lost Cole, and he's the guy that we can likely expect against major league players consistently being the best pitcher. And then you have Will Warren stretched out in AAA, and whenever they need it, because let's be honest, they will need it, Will Warren will be that guy, and they'll be happy for those innings. So, I'm excited for this. I would say go pick up Luis Gil as a spec ad. Because hot dang, is this guy good? It is against the Astros first, and I'm still going to do it. I don't care. I think he's that good. Just get those four-seamers actually upstairs. When he throws it lower, he's actively hurting himself. So hopefully he does that. And lastly, on the StatCast and TV, we have Mitch White, 5.2 innings of 1 earned run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. Fastball velocity has been up all spring. It's only up a tick now, not 2 to 3. So it's not like 96 pushing 97, it's just 95, and it was 94 last year, but it was 8 for 38 whiffs and a 37% CSW. If you were doing the math, what is 8 for 38? That is about a 20% swing strike rate. Very, very good on that. I believe that's correct. 16, I'm doing the math myself right now, yes, it's about that. You have him also getting Houston as his first start. How does that work, Nick? I don't know. No, I apologize. I truly do apologize. The Yankees are going for Houston in 4, And then, so that's Clark Schmidt getting him, but Luis Teal then would get the Diamondbacks. Yes, I'm memorizing all of these at this point. Luis Teal would get the Diamondbacks. I'm so in for that one. While Mitch White, if he is SP5 covering for Kevin Gausman, that would be the Astros. See, okay. Whew, it all works out. Go get Heal. Mitch White, I'm not that interested in. We have a lot more games to cover. Of course, the other StatCast game, all the stuff on the TV and all the stuff that I went through beat writers and tried to find anything interesting. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. Emerson Hancock and Ryne Nelson pitched against each other. We had StatCast for this one. Emerson Hancock looks like a Toby. He's a sinker, slider, changeup guy. Four innings of one run for his 0 walks 1K. Nothing really to report here. He likely is the SP6 option for the Mariners. And when there is something to fill in season, you will see Hancock, and we don't need to run to the waiver wire to get him. However, Ryne Nelson, five innings, one earned run, five hits, two walks, and nine strikeouts. I've been talking a lot about Ryne Nelson this spring, just monitoring if he does have a harder fastball. Is he keeping it upstairs? And does he have a good secondary pitch inside the zone and out of it that he can actually get whiffs with to pair it? He looked like he had it here with 11 for 47 whiffs on his fastball. He was also back up to 95-96 and not the 94 and change. And that's really exciting. He was generally up. It was middle or up. Like, it wasn't down is my point. And Ryne Nelson does well when he is upstairs. The problem, the slider and the cutter are not as refined as I want. They were generally glove side, which is good. Cutter was, and so was the slider. And only really the slider was able to get down properly. But he does get rocky road. He's the SP4 now because Eduardo Rodriguez is on the IL. That bumps him up from being opposite Luis Teal. And that would have been a very fun game, by the way. But he now gets rocky road in Arizona. I have to preface this by saying that rocky road, or really not preface this, I need to note that rocky road is only really good about a month in the season. That is, once the Rockies have experienced Coors enough, then being on the road is so different from how the air treats baseballs and cores, that is pitches, that they are worse than they should be expected on the road. So having it as your first game of the season where cores has not affected batters yet means that rocky road, that phrase I use saying, hey, the Rockies are really bad on the road, is not as amplified. However, it is still the Colorado Rockies lineup from a skill standpoint, and they are not a great team offensively, so this should be a decent matchup, especially if you're in your deeper 15 teamers or your NL onlys. Ryne Nelson could work out here. We have other games, of course. Keaton Wynn and Dalton Jeffries went for the Giants. Keaton Wynn, finally we got to see him. Four innings, one run, three hits, one walk, zero strikeouts. He's going to be the SP5 likely here, but let's say Blake Snell is going to take another week. Then you might see Dalton Jeffries show up. Three innings, two earned runs, three hits, one walk, five Ks. I don't think we need to go and chase that, but it is very, very sneaky, and there might be some value from Jeffries during the season. So at least know who he is. He used to start for the Athletics. I think he's a better option than, say, Spencer Howard. But you might see Landon Ropp. You might see Mason Black as well. But Dalton Jeffries could be in that mix, and maybe there's something there eventually. As I mentioned, Justin Steele only pitched one inning. Sorry, guys. Justin Steele, just one inning, and then he took the comeback or whatever. Hayden Wesneski went four earned runs in 0.2 innings. Oh, dear. Four, two hits, three walks, 1K. But he had to show up sooner than expected because Justin Steele got pulled out. So you might see, actually, Wesneski following Javier Assad in the fifth game of the season because they're replacing Jameson Taillon. And if you are into Vulture wins, it might be Wesneski. I don't want to play that game, but if you want to, go ahead, I guess. Cody Bradford, four innings, three earned runs, five hits, two walks, three Ks. I guess he's the SP5 for the Rangers, unless it's Michael Lorenzen. They said it was Cody Bradford, but then they signed Lorenzen, and then they might say that Lorenzen is going to be it. I don't know. I don't really care either way. They're not a guy. Either guy is not someone that I'm interested in whatsoever, but who I'm definitely interested in, and I'm really, really regretting that I didn't focus on the more pre-draft season, or really pre-spring, is Shane Bieber. Six innings, zero earned runs, two hits, one walk, seven Ks. And what's so interesting about this is that you see like a report once. He went to Driveline, now he's 93. And we often say, oh, we can't trust this, whatever it is. And a lot of the time we can't, right? You say, oh no, he's bumping this now. Like Rodon is sitting 95, 96 now, and we haven't seen it. And maybe it is today. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to say probably not. Shane Bieber has actually been sitting 93 from my understanding. He also fixes curveball grip, which is wild. that he lost his curveball grip last year, fixed it, and I watched this. He had a much tighter breaker. It was much better. Shane Bieber is flying up my draft board because he's in a contract year. He's going to pitch every 5 days. Sure, there is some injury risk with Shane Bieber, absolutely, but he hasn't been 93 for a while. And yes, sticky stuff was a thing with Shane Bieber. Don't forget this. And that is what fixed him, not the Guardians. Sticky stuff did. And then he lost it and wasn't as good. However, if he, let's just say he's a 23% strikeout rate and he goes like 180 innings, I'm so in for that. That's a Holly. That's a floor of that, right? So I don't feel, I feel like the 20% strikeout rate is gone from last year if it's a better curveball and he's not throwing 91, right? That just makes all the sense. So yeah, I'm very much in on Shane Bieber. It's a very nice floor. I think you're not dropping this. You're going to get a good amount of wins. Like I have him, what, around 30 now, something like that. I have him above like Jesus Luzardo. Yeah, I'm in. Kyle Freeland, 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Velocity's 3 to 4 ticks up still. And are we actually streaming him that first week against the Diamondbacks in Arizona and the Cubs in Wrigley? Because he's not in Coors. I'm not going to do it, but for your D15 teamers, why not, right? Maybe you get a win or two there. Generally, the Rockies are better the first couple weeks because they haven't seen Coors yet. Just think about that. Jose Urania, 5.2 innings of 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks for the Rangers. I expect him to be the SP7, I guess now, maybe the 8, if they want Jerry Rodriguez, because you have Lorenzen showing up, so then Cody Bradford's a 6 now. Maybe they just release him because they're like, you know what, we got Lorenzen, and we don't really need this, but he's a decent backup long reliever or something. I don't know. Not worth it. If you trust Jose, you're in a boatload of trouble. You guys know it. Jack Leiter also showed up, 2.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. We expect him to show up as a starter at some point this year. I'm looking forward to getting more AAA data on him about his extension, about his flat four-seamer, all that kind of stuff, and also to see if the secondaries are good enough, where the velocity's at, all that fun stuff. We haven't really gotten that much from Leiter this spring. Joe Boyle, 3 innings, 7 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. He does not have good command, and we move on. Do not go after Joe Boyle. Command is the market inefficiency. Stop looking at just the stuff numbers. Y'all know that. Jake Woodford, the Amish Mustang does not have electricity. No shock there. 4.2 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. I really hope that the White Sox are not going with him over Nick Nastrini. I'm waiting to see an update there. It'd be so cool if Nick Nastrini gets a rotation spot. I've seen some people be a little bit down on Nastrini, saying his stuff isn't as good. I really haven't been able to get data or video much of Nastrini this spring, so it's more of just a mystery box. And it's why I don't have Nastrini as high as others, but he is a very highly touted prospect. I really liked him when I reviewed the White Sox in all of 2023. But I need to see it more and be like, oh, okay, this is how I feel. We have Bryce Wilson going 3 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. I wonder if the Brewers will let him start if Junis isn't going to be there, but nah, he was good in relief for them last year. So maybe they're just like, hey, you got 3 innings underneath you, let's just not push it anymore. And lastly there, you got Jose Soriano. Who? Right? Angels. Six innings, not three times two. 0 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 8 strikeouts. He was sitting like 97 last year, and it was maybe 96 in the sinker or so. It looked like he was kind of there, maybe like 95 in this. I got no data for it, but I watched the strikeouts, and that slider looked good. Ron Washington has said, hey, look, we want Jose Soriano in the rotation as a starter. Who does he replace? I don't know. It's Detmers, it's Canning, no. Tyler Anderson, no. Patrick Sandoval, not going to replace Patrick Sandoval, right? Chase Silseth, no. So I imagine Soriano goes to the minors and is stretched out there, and then we'll get more data and understanding of how Soriano is. No one cares about him right now, like at all. No one's paying attention to Jose Soriano. So let me just get a better look of him than what we've gotten so far with these terrible camera angles and all. And we'll talk later, but at least you know Jose Soriano. It's not just like out of the blue, oh my gosh, no one ever heard of him ever. Now you have, so it's on you. Okay, and me, of course. And lastly, we've got like Graham Ashcraft going, 5.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, 6 Ks. These games had no TV, no Statcast. Yeah, no thank you. The command obviously isn't there. Alex Wood, just 3 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Remember, he's on the Athletics now, which means that he actually gets starts. But I don't think this is something you want to chase yet. I mean, unless I see data that's like, oh my gosh, Alex Wood is totally different. And of course, we've got like nothing on Alex Wood his entire spring. Javier Assad, as I mentioned, is probably going to open in front of Wisniewski for like 3.2 innings like he did in this one. 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Maybe he goes 4 or 5, but we don't care about this. Freddy Peralta and Luis Castillo dueled, and Ace is going to ace for the most part. I mean, you have 3 walks and 5 hits for Freddy Peralta, but 9 strikeouts for both Castillo and Peralta each, which is just great. And we just got to hope that Peralta is in rhythm like he was last year. While Logan Webb, 4.1 innings of 9 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. And I've had a lot of people reach out to me about him. And they say, are you worried? I'm like, I'm not. I don't know. It's the spring. And I know I'm reading so much into Reagans and feeling this way, feeling that way. And at some point, you got to say, like, are they really good? And you go, yes. Is there any report on them being hurt? No. Then, okay. We just kind of go with it. The only time I can really think about a guy having a really, really terrible spring, and it was a sign of some injury that we found out later, was Brandon Woodruff with Reynos. And that was 2 years ago, I think. Maybe it was even last year, where it just really displaced him completely. And I needed to know, like, okay, if they're really having, like, the worst spring ever, like, no outings of it, then we should take note. And that's what's happening right now with Logan Webb. Like, it hasn't been good at all. If you want, like, I don't blame anyone that says, look, this is just an atrocity of a spring. Like he said, many, at least 2, if not 3, like 4 or 5 inning games so far. And then this is 9 earned run game. I don't know. The caper walk is good. 9 hits. Maybe it's just fluky 450 BABIP or something for Logan Webb. But then again, he's always supposed to have some sort of elevated BABIP, right? He's a ground ball guy. And if I'm going to read this, you know, the most, it's really that Logan Webb has either lost movement on his sinker or changeup, or is throwing too many changeups in the zone, because the biggest thing on him is changeups down and out of the zone. And he has one of the highest O swings you've ever seen on pitches, and he throws like 60% changeups or something ridiculous. And they're all like 50% plus O swing, which is crazy. And this would either say to me, okay, you are not getting as many called strikes on the sinker, and you're not getting as many out of zone chases on the changeup so far. Now, is that going to last? Probably not, because Logan Webb has showcased this as a skill over time. But those that are not commandists, you're more stuffists, you will be like, yeah, command isn't sticky. And I'm going to tell you that Logan Webb probably will shake that off, or there's an injury affecting it. So I'm really curious to see what the data has, because we got no data. Nothing. I hate it. So much. All right, that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.